Life is a battlefield. Every day you're tested by others, challenged by society, and pushed to the limit by your inner struggles. To overcome, you must have the mindset of a warrior, at peace at all times, conscious of your true power, and present in every moment. Warriors are properly prepared to perform at the highest level. This is Way of Warrior Radio, helping you fight the good fight. And now, a man well-versed in trauma and drama, he's battle-hardened, and he has your six. Here is Way of Warrior Radio's Mr. Scott V. Black.
Have you ever wondered if you can handle it? Have you ever wondered if you got what it takes? Have you ever doubted that you're prepared? Have you ever hesitated because you didn't know if you could do it? What if? What if you acted as if? What if when life started squeezing you, instead of backing away, you leaned into it? What if when everybody else is running to the exits, you're running to the fight? Ah, there is great power. Welcome to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. What is the good fight? Well, you know, I can give you a lot of information. I can give you a lot of help. But you got to figure out, what is your good fight? See, warriors got to know what's worth living for. You know, we talk all the time about what's worth dying for, but let's be honest. Most people wouldn't die for the truth. Nevertheless, a lie. I always ask the question, it's rhetorical. If someone says they love you, but you don't believe they love you, are you loved? So many questions. Well, what's a warrior do? Well, what a warrior is to do is, first of all, adopt the six P's of preparation. What are they? Well, I learned this as a 17-year-old kid in a man's world in boot camp in Fort Bliss, Texas, in August of 1983. And I learned as a young, scared little boy in a man's body. When that drill sergeant got in my face and told me not to look him in the eyes, not to call him sir, not to, right? I am your mother, I am your father, I am your worst nightmare, and I am your only hope. Today I call that Jesus. Back then we called it sergeant, yes sir, no sir, and I stopped calling me a sir because I work for a living. See, proper preparation prevents piss poor performance, and you gotta fight the fight, people, because it is a battle zone out there. So how do you prepare? You know, a good old boy from Georgia went up to New York City doing some sightseeing. He jumps in a tax cab. He asks the tax cab driver, "Hey, Mac, what's the best way to get to Carnegie Hall?" And the tax cab driver said, "That's easy, man. Practice, practice, practice." That's the best way to get to Carnegie Hall. Improper preparation prevents piss poor performance. And as a warrior, we would much rather be prepared for a battle that does not take place rather than not being prepared for one that does, because it'll cost your life. It could cost your wife or your husband. It could cost your children. It could cost you hope. It could cost you eternity. That's what the Bible says. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose a soul? What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the ultimate success, what the world calls success, but lose your kids, lose your family, lose your mental health, lose your physical health, lose your desire to live, lose your dreams? You know, I'm honored that I get to speak life into people. I am honored that I get to walk with people. I am honored that so many choose to say kind things about me and the impact I've had on their lives. But, you know, I'm still kind of thinking about yesterday's show. Yesterday's show, Who Cares for the Caregiver? If you have not heard it, you go to Spotify, you go to Apple Podcasts, you go where you go to get podcasts, and you download Like It Matters Radio, Way of Warrior, Living Life Like It Matters. You'll find them all there. Because I had yesterday Peter Rosenberger, a man, what a great man. He's a caregiver, been taking care of his beautiful wife, Gracie, for 40 years, 86 surgeries. And he helps caregivers. And what really moved me, besides his incredible heart, is he had shared that his book that he just wrote, and I highly recommend it. Please go get it. A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. You know what Monday feels like when you got a day job? You know what Monday feels like when you work Monday through Friday? You know what Monday feels like when you just want to be at home with your family, right? Well, that's what a lot of people feel every single day, 24/7, no downtime. Caregivers. A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. Author's Peter Rosenberger. But why am I bringing this up? Because yesterday Peter said something that moved me. He said the foreword that was done by his book was done by retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. I have a lot of respect for Colonel North. I know Colonel North not personally, but I'm very well understand Colonel North. Bennett was used to be around him in my college days through my political affiliations. And Colonel North did the foreword for his book, and he describes caregiving for his wife, Betsy. His wife, Betsy, was diagnosed with a debilitating brain disorder 5 years ago. And he calls it Oliver North, who's been in battle, who's seen his friends' faces blown off. He says, the most challenging physical, mental, and emotional experience of my 80 years on earth. And he said, it's prepared me situational awareness. Colonel North said, you know, I've been prepared for the battlefield. I've been prepared for special ops. I've been prepared for what to do in situation A, B, or C. But for what I've had to go through with my wife to take care of her, I was not prepared for. And your book, Peter, is situational awareness. And then I started thinking, that's what we do in our leadership training, situational awareness. And so today I was on Facebook and I was looking and I got this text from Scott Kaiser. Scott Kaiser is a graduate of mine, but he also happens to be the mayor of Molalla, Oregon. And Scott's going to join us. And Scott was talking about his duties as mayor. And he said, I could not have done this without you. And Like It Matters. He credits what he's doing as a mayor now. He runs a backhoe. He's a heavy equipment operator, but his day job. And then he became mayor. And why? This is what I want to talk about today. What are you doing to prepare yourself for what's in front of you? For God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for hope in the future. Are you getting yourself properly prepared? Because proper preparation prevents piss poor performance for a warrior. How do you prepare yourself for situational leadership? Today, we're going to talk about situational awareness. And Mr. Kaiser, the mayor from Oregon, is going to join me talking about how my training got him ready, got him situationally ready for something he didn't even know was coming before him. And my question to you today, listener, are you ready for what's coming? I'm Black. Don't go anywhere. You're going to love this interview. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-246-1687. 800-246-1687.
When I attended the Leadership Awakening workshop, I didn't know what to expect, but I was open. The tools taught at Leadership Awakening helped me discover things about myself that were holding me back from being all God created me to be. Providential? That word coins these life-changing classes because I now realize there are works God has already created for me to walk in, and these workshops helped me to see this more clearly. I received practical insights that I am already applying to be a more focused businesswoman, influential mom to my two teenagers, an 8.5-year-old son, and patient and passionate wife. I got rid of a lot of clutter in my head. BS, they call it, belief systems that were not serving me. If you want to know what it means to empower others instead of trying to control them, if you want to build a productive team in 2 days, if you want to press the reset button in your life and give yourself a fresh new beginning, then do yourself and your family a favor and attend the next Leadership Awakening. It's time the giant in you comes alive.
Leadership Awakening is coming to a location near you. Details at likeitmatters.net. That's likeitmatters.net.
Welcome back to Way of Warrior, fighting your good fight. I remind you that this was the last 2 weeks that we're actually on the radio, and then everything will move to podcast. And so wherever you listen to podcasts, just go to Way of Warrior. Of course, you can go to the website, wayofwarriorpod.com, where we're starting to upload everything to. You can still be able to access likeitmattersradio.com as well, and the training site will still be able to reach the old site at likeitmatters.net, as well as the new site of wayofwarrior.training. Lots going on. And, you know, my day job, you know, where it's interesting, we all have day jobs and then we do other stuff. And so my day job is I do intensive leadership training. You can go to likeitmatters.net to check it out, or wayofwarrior.training to check it out. And for 32 years now, almost 32 years, I provide environments where people can take a 100% honest look at themselves. And it's in a setting I call situational leadership. That's what I've been calling it. But yesterday, when I was listening to Peter talk and Colonel Oliver North talk about what taking care of his wife, he says that book that Peter wrote gives him situational awareness, and because he's never been trained how to do what he's doing now. And then I started thinking that that's really what I do in the classroom. I create an environment that creates situational awareness, that I put pressure on people. I squeeze people. Why? Because you can tell a man's religion in time of despair. And what I do is I put pressure on people because life puts pressure on us. And, you know, we do what we do because we do what we do. You know, why are we getting what we're getting today? Is because of what we're doing. And if you don't like what you're getting, then change what you're doing. Now, that seems so basic, but common sense is not so common anymore. And so what I do is I create a situation with a lot of pressure. It's a safe environment. But I squeeze people, and I have a mirror with me, because when life squeezes you, ladies and gentlemen, you want to find out who you are? You'll find out who you are when life squeezes you. The problem is, when life squeezes you in real life, it'll cost you life. It'll cost you a future. It'll cost you some jail time. It'll cost you a marriage. It'll cost you your relationship with your kids. It'll cost you. But what if you could go to an experience where you learned how to function at a high level in a stressful environment, where you learned how to not be fall down, to get knocked on your butt, and instead of playing victim, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of blaming your mommy and your daddy, instead of blaming the previous occupant of the White House or the current occupant of the White House, what if, strange concept, just hold on a minute, what if you picked yourself up? You dusted yourself off and hit again. That was a crazy idea. But let's say it knocks you down again. Just hold on for a second. What if, instead of griping, instead of complaining, instead of filing a lawsuit, instead of disassociating or canceling or defriending, what if you picked yourself up, dusted yourself off. I hit it again and again and again and again and again. No, that's not repeat. That's black telling you the reality of life. That's what that is. And so the best way to get to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice. Well, then the best way to live the warrior's battle, the best way to live your life like it matters, the best way has to be practice, practice, practice. So I'm blessed. I get a chance to meet a lot of people in my life. I walk intimately. And one of this, the gentleman that I'm going to have join us in a second, he's just a great guy. He's a construction worker. I met him through one of my clients. One of my clients, when someone goes to my training, they send other people, changes their life. And so they send people they care about. And this gentleman happened to work with another client of mine. And so he went through my training. And since then, and not all because of me, please don't want me taking credit for this man's incredible choices. But I do like to believe that I have a small part in it. And how do I know this? Because he told me. Here's what I saw on Facebook this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, Mr. Black, I am doing awesome. Because I reached out and said, how you doing, man? He said, I could not have done this without you. And like it matters. And he's talking about becoming mayor of his city. He said, my council hates it when we are faced with a challenge. We tackle it head on. We think outside the box and deal with it. When I start to get tired, the only thing I think of is Mr. Black gets 3 hours of sleep a night. I can do it. Get it done. I have learned so much by becoming a mayor. I'm also making sure I leave a legacy that someone is going to have to work on. I learned a new line you might want to give a shot to. It said, if I wanted to make everybody happy, I would have been the ice cream man. I love that. If I can ever do a testimony for you, please let me know. And by the way, check this out. Every day, looking to outdo yesterday, he said, quote, I also started a nonprofit. We just got done buying 2,000 worth of coats and toys for kids in the community. Awesome job. We also help families all year long with any emergencies that come up. Hope you're doing well and Merry Christmas. You know, that warms my heart. What a great Christmas gift. So let's welcome the mayor of Malala, Oregon, Mr. Scott Kaiser. Hey, Scott, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr. Black?
You know, you made my morning, man. Usually when I'm sending my text out to 1,000 people, it's pretty lonely. And then I saw that little post on Facebook, and it stirred me up. So is it called Malala? Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, you are.
Now, where's Malala at? Give me some geographical understanding.
Malala is about 30 minutes south of that wonderful city we call Portland in Oregon.
Oh, and that used to be a wonderful city. Yes.
Yeah. And we have a population of about 10, just under 11,000. And, you know, we're dealing with all the same issues as a lot of the Oregon cities, you know, between drugs, homeless, the state trying to take away our ability to run our city. And so, just the average medium-sized city in the state that is constantly thinking outside the box on funding and infrastructure and everything else.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. You know, my background's politics, you know that. And I basically kicked the dust off my shoes. I basically washed my hands because this world is nutso. America, what happened to America? I don't think should be able to call this place America anymore. It should be the new America because it's a different place. And you know what I'm talking about. But that's for a different show, brother. But hey, real quick, let me ask you, what made you decide to step in the ring? I mean, you have no political background, correct?
No. My father was a lobbyist. I used to go to the Capitol every year with him as a kid, go down to the gift shop, buy the little honey sticks. Had absolutely no interest in politics. I was in the towing industry for 15 years and then got into driving dump truck and lowboys and hauling equipment. And I've been doing that the rest of my career life. And so, yeah, no, I've never had any political aspirations or anything up until I did this.
Well, what was the proverbial straw that broke the camel back, or that thing that said, I'm going to step over line, I'm going to do this? Was there anything in particular, or was it just a building, cumulative type of thing?
Well, during COVID, I started a group on Facebook, and basically what it was is you know, there were senior citizens that were stuck at home. They were afraid to come out. They needed groceries. They needed their prescriptions. Heck, there was a toilet paper shortage. And I found resources around our community. And so I started this Facebook page, and I had the givers and I had the takers. And basically what would happen is senior citizens or people that were stuck at home would send us a message saying, hey, I need toilet paper, or I need antibacterial soaps or whatever. Well, my wife was the manager of a Dollar Tree and still is to this day. And so when her shipments would come in, she'd hoard off a little pile, and I would go in and I'd buy it from her, and we'd go deliver it to people, and they would pay the $1 that it cost me to go pick it up. And so that's kind of where it started. And then a few months into it, I thought, you know, I want some hindsight, you know, somebody that the community's comfortable with, that's watching our Facebook page, just to kind of say, hey, you know, these guys are doing a good job. And I wasn't looking for the accolades, but just to make people feel comfortable. And so I called City Hall and I said, hey, I'd like to talk to the mayor. And they said, well, you can send them an email. Now, this is 2020. And I'm like, I can't get his office. I can't get a cell phone. I can't get a voicemail. Nope. The only way you can talk to him is through email. So I sent an email. I waited. I sent an email. I waited 3 weeks. I finally called City Hall again. And I said, hey, is your mayor come in? Oh, no, he's older. He's at home because of COVID. And I said, okay, does he not have a computer at home? You know, I'd really like to talk to him about what we're trying to do in his community. And they said, well, just email him again. Well, I did it 3 more times. Still got no response. And I let the public know. They said, hey, you know, does the city council approve what you're doing, da-da-da? And I said, I don't know. Here's the 3, 4, 5 emails I've sent. They're not answering. And so a few people came to me and said, you know, you should run. And I said, run for what? I'm 300 pounds.
I'm not like into running, food. And that's okay.
Yeah. I'll run to the kitchen table. Come on.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you should run for mayor. We think you'd really be good. And so I got with somebody who used to be a mayor here, and I got some really poor advice. But in the end, I got some really great advice. And I ended up beating, I had an opponent. This lady was on the city council, had been on there for years, and I ended up beating her. And
that's so cool, Scott.
The public basically said they wanted someone blue collar in their city hall working for them.
Amen. Such a great story, and the rest is history. And how long have you been mayor now?
3 years. Next year, I will be running again for a second term.
Awesome. Hey, we're going to heartbreak, Scott. We're going to heartbreak. If you could hold on, I want to keep you over for the break. Because afterwards, I want to talk about what prepared you, because you're facing things you never considered. And I want to talk about the preparation that you went through in Leadership Awakening. So stay tuned. We're talking about situational awareness. You don't want to miss this.
What can you do in 48 hours that changes your life? Like It Matters Leadership Awakening. Listen to this 22-year law enforcement veteran with PTSD compare Leadership Awakening to other training he's received.
You focus on the individual. I think you kind of answered the why question, whereas a lot of the other programs that are out there, I don't want to say they put a Band-Aid on it, but they don't do a very good job of going into the why. And, you know, why am I doing this? Why is my brain revert back to the images? You know, why do I get depressed? And like you said, right, it's a choice.
48 hours. Give Mr. Black and Leadership Awakening just 48 hours, and it will change the course of your life. Go to likeitmatters.net and click on Schedule for Leadership Awakening near you. That's likeitmatters.net. Just click on Schedule. Leadership Awakening, where 48 hours will change your life.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow Mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
Welcome back to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. And that's the key, isn't it? The good fight. I have people asking me all the time, what is the good fight? Well, that's what we have to figure out. We are unique individuals. We have unique paths. We have unique proclivities. We have unique gifts and talents, trauma, drama. And one of our goals in life is figure out what is our good fight. And then once we figure out what is our good fight, we got to know, how do we prepare ourselves? Because as a warrior, when an opportunity presents itself, if you're not prepared, it could cost you a lot. It could cost you relationships. It could cost you hope. It could cost you future opportunities. It could cost you a marriage. It could cost you salvation. And so I learned in the military as a 17-year-old young boy in a man's body that proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. And how do you prepare for something that you know not yet it's in your path? Well, that's what me and my guests are going to talk about. And today we are joined by Scott Kaiser. Scott is mayor of Mala, Oregon. He's a friend of mine. He's a graduate of mine. And today we're talking about situational awareness. So, Scott, again, I appreciate you spending the time to join me and my listeners today. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Appreciate being here.
So tell me a little bit. So, man, you went through a training, and we were talking offhand about 10 years ago. This year will be your 10-year anniversary. So how did you find out about Like It Matters and Scott Black and my leadership training?
I was working for a company called O'Malley Brothers, and the owner, Mike O'Malley, had gone through your training, and he basically scholarshiped three employees. And in fact, it was the devil was against you the day the class started. We had everything against us. The day we started class, it started off with a very horrible incident happened at work, and law enforcement was there, and it was bad. And right after that incident, we got hit with one of the worst snowstorms that we had seen in years. And so, yeah, it was crazy. And so, I showed up, you know, the first night unaware of what I was getting myself into or what my boss was getting me into. And you and I, we struggled. And, the messages that I received from, you know, my boss sent me with messages and saying, hey, you know, stick this out, push through it. And that's all we could do.
Yeah, I totally forgot, Scott. You know, I've done this for 32 years now. And if you're wondering what this is, go to likeitmatters.net or you can go to wayofwarrior.training. But it's intense training. You're right. And, you know, I've seen this. I've been doing this 32 years, Scott. And for whatever reason, the enemy, call it whatever name you want to put on that enemy. Yeah, when people, the week of class, I could tell you stories, Scott, of what happens to keep people from going to my training. It's strangest things. And you had one of those. And my training is not soft and fluffy. My training gets you ready for the real world. My training gets you prepared that when everybody else is losing their head and there's chaos all around, my training prepares you to keep your head and to function at a high level in a stressful environment. And so, yeah, 5 minutes into it, it's intense, right? Chaotic, like what's going on? Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even five minutes before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Standing outside the door.
Yeah, hearing the noise and all that. Yeah. All intentional, by the way. And now you know why, right? Because life's that way.
Yes.
Got you ready. Yeah. So let me ask you, you know, you're 10 years removed now. You went through my training 10 years ago. So what do you think is the biggest takeaway you got from that 48 hours that you spent with me 10 years ago?
You know, I think the biggest thing I remember is the easy button. There is no easy button. You can't just push it and everything's going to be easy. And then the other thing is slow things down. Don't rush through it. Don't the product quality, you know, the teacup story that you gave us, you know, the crafter crafting that teacup, you know, slow things down, put your time, put your quality into it. Do it once, move on.
Yeah, because my training, you know, what I do, Scott, now you see, is I create a culture. See, I didn't realize at the time when you went through why what I did worked. I knew it worked. But over the last, adding another 10 years of experience, of another, you know, I don't know, 100 or so classes, whatever it is, and then my knowledge base, I'm constantly learning and growing. And so now I understand what I do is I create an environment, a culture. And that culture is to not accept good enough. The culture is that you got this, no matter how chaotic it is. It doesn't matter what happens to us. It matters what happens in us. And when we can slow it down to understand that between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is our power. It's our freedom. And now what I call it is requisite variety. See, I used to teach about being flexible, about being able to pivot. But today, now I know it's actually a law. It's called requisite variety. And what that says, Scott, is an element in the system with the most flexibility has the most power and control. And in my training, I believe what you learned and a lot of people learn is that they have the element. They are the element with the most flexibility, and they have the most power and control, because Dr. Viktor Frankl said between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is our power and our freedom. And so in my class, you learned how to overcome. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely.
In my training, you learned how to be in control even when things seemed chaotic around you, correct?
Yeah. You know, when I became a mayor, I did not, there's no class to take. Robert's Rules of Order. The person that I replaced, basically, once he heard I won, stepped out. I didn't get mentorship on how to do it. And so it was a crash course on, okay, we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to make mistakes. And when we do, we man up to it and we humbly apologize and say, we'll do better. And, you know, that is the biggest key that I have gotten out of this is, I'm going to make mistakes. But standing up, brushing myself off, admitting my mistakes, admitting my failure is not a failure unless you don't learn, if you don't learn from it. And every mistake I've made, I've admitted it and said, sorry, I will do better. And I've come out better every single time.
Well, and it's a muscle. It's confidence that, you know, when I can capture your fingerprint, Scott, and I'll give you a 37-page printout of your brain, show you your innate intellects. And we have 10 different ways we're all smart and we're wired that way. And the one, the intrapersonal, the one that we believe about ourselves, our own leadership ability, our self-confidence, we call that the Superman intellect. Because when you know you can handle it, when you know you got this, when you know that no matter what the world throws at you, you can handle it. Why? Because you spent 2.5 days in the world of Mr. Black. You went through a training. You went through a situational leadership, situational awareness, where you were able to take a look at things, handle a situation that most people couldn't handle. But you handled it. And so you got self-confidence. You have this history there that you know you've been in chaotic situations and you responded well. And that's incredible. I mean, what's your biggest challenge, you think, today as a mayor in that small city? What's your biggest challenge, you think?
Well, just like any other city, we deal with homeless. We deal with drug addiction. In our state, our state passed a ballot measure that basically legalized drugs. People get a citation, they call a counseling center, which it's a total epic fail. And so, again, like you taught me, thinking outside the box, you know, we're thinking of solutions and that our state is just throwing money at. As of right now, we haven't asked for any money to deal with our homeless or our drug problem. We've found nonprofits that have come in and are going and communicating with our homeless. Since, I think, July of this year, they've transitioned 4 people into transitional housing, drug rehabilitation, and job placement skills. Wow. And other cities are out with their hand out saying, we want money. We want money. And that money doesn't fix everything. Using your brain, using it smartly, and looking at the big picture, slowing everything down. Don't push the easy button. The easy button is to ask for freaking money.
Yeah. And you got to slow it down like a good young quarterback, right? For a young NFL quarterback, that's why usually they sit them for the first year. Why? Because the game is so fast, and they say they got to learn to slow it down to see your receivers, to see their routes, and then do your checkoffs. But you got to slow it down because it's all got to take place in 3 or 4 seconds. But in my training, you learned how to be intense, but yet slow it down. Remember that 2 days when you were in my class? How long did that 2 days feel like you were there?
A month.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, it's still that same thing. Yeah, it's 2 days fully present in the now moment, and you swear that you're there for a week or two, and it's less than 48 hours.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. And in your environment, you know, I came in with the stress of what's going on at work. Did my wife get home safely in the snowstorm? And in that time frame, two and a half days, literally you slowed the entire environment down, and in the first 4 hours said everything that's in your head is erased. You're now a sponge. Going into Friday, it was Friday and Saturday was absorb, and not knowing.
Hey, brother, we're getting ready to go to heartbreak. Sorry, brother. I could talk to you all day, man. I appreciate you.
Okay.
I've kept you a long time. God bless you, my friend, and thank you for joining us. And we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, bye-bye.
All right, buddy, bye-bye.
This is Scott Black of Like It Matters. As many of you know, I have been helping people to be the best they were created to be. Many more people need to receive the benefits of Leadership Awakening. Mental health in our communities is a real issue. We recently received our 501c3 nonprofit status with the emphasis of creating and delivering, taking back your power and your freedom to the least among us struggling with mental health issues. Please help us help others. You can save a marriage, save a business, or a life by supporting Like It Matters with your tax-deductible gifts. All gifts are needed, large, small, and everything in between. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at likeitmatters.net. Give today at likeitmatters.net. And by the way, Like It Matters Leadership Awakening classes will continue. Check out the schedule at likeitmatters.net as we build our training for those suffering from the challenges of poor mental health. God bless you.
You're a work in progress.
A little more.
Constantly under construction.
That's good.
To build your productive life, you need the right tools from Mr. Black and Like It Matters Radio. A good golfer has a great caddy who shares the load and understands the course. Hire Mr. Black as your life caddy to live more fulfilling and successfully. If you want to get to the next level and beyond, both personally and professionally, sign up for Mr. Black's immersive Leadership Awakening class. It's the most powerful, transformational 2 days you will ever experience. Stay in touch with Mr. Black and the change connected to him on your schedule with his daily podcast. Search Living Like It Matters wherever you get your podcasts. Walk along with Mr. Black as he goes to God's instruction manual. It's manna from the Word of God with Mr. Black's Bible teaching at wayofwarrior.blog. Build yourself up like it matters and get everything God has for you. Go to likeitmatters.net. That's likeitmatters.net.
Welcome back to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. And man, you know, we don't know what battles are in front of us. This is why my job is to set the captives free. My job is lighten your burden. My job is to get you prepared. I believe we're in storms in life. Life is about storms. We're either coming out of one or going into one, or we've just come out of one and we're enjoying a little bit of time. They are correcting storms. They're directing storms. You know, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control what happens in us. And certain things in life, when you're going to play big, you've got to step outside your comfort zone. And we don't know what we can handle. We don't know what we can do. But here's the key. if we're constantly working on ourselves to become better, then no matter what is in front of us, we're going to perform at a high level. No matter what is in front of us, we're going to be okay. No matter what is in front of us, we're going to do better today than we did yesterday and better tomorrow than today. That's why we call it being under construction. We're going to be a little bit better today than yesterday, a little bit better tomorrow than today. This is why my training works. This is why I've been doing it 32 years. This is why you need to go in, because it's one thing to read a book. It's one thing to listen to someone talk about something. But that's not how most people learn at the, you know, there's two words for know. One is gnosis and epignosis. They're Greek, I'm pretty sure. They might be Hebrew. I think Greek. But in the Bible, the most translated know. And gnosis is a surface knowledge, book smarts. Maybe you've studied something a little bit, but you have no practical application. You don't know it at the heart of the issue. You just know it in the brain of the issue. But epignosis means to know something. You know, like in the Bible, when it said two people, quote, knew each other, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, epignosis. When you've been through the dark night of the soul, you got street cred. See, I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to not to be enough. I know what it's like to not fit in. I know what it's like not to be black enough or tall enough or pretty enough or wealthy enough or thin enough or tall enough. I understand the pain. I understand what it's like to be abandoned. I understand what it's like to be homeless. I understand what it's like to be, you know, basically not fit in. Those things give us street cred. When we understand what pain looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, when we experience overcoming things over and over, when we get knocked on our butts over and over and continually learn how to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, hit it again, and quit playing victim. That's why the good book says a righteous man will stumble seven times but get back up, but the wicked will stumble to ruin. And so this is why I believe in constant, never-ending improvement. You know, there's a great book called the, Atomic Habits by James Clear. And in there, he talks about the British cycling team. And so he goes on to say the organization, which has the governing body for professional cycling in Great Britain, recently hired a man by the name of Dave Brailsford as its new performance director. At the time, professional cyclists in Great Britain had endured nearly 100 years of mediocrity. Since 1908, British riders had won just a single gold medal at Olympic Games, and they had fared even worse in cycling's biggest race, the Tour de France. In 110 years, think about this, no British cyclist had ever won the Tour de France. In fact, the performance of British riders has been so underwhelming. Believe it or not, one of the top bike manufacturers in Europe refused to sell bikes to the team. Why? They were afraid it would hurt their sales. So Brailsford, after hiring this guy, had been hired to put British cycling on a new trajectory. What made him different from previous coaches was his relentless commitment to a strategy that he referred to as the aggregation of marginal gains. This was the philosophy of searching for a tiny margin of improvement in everything you do, just slight improvement in a lot of things. What Brailsford said was that, quote, the whole principle came from the idea that if you broke down everything you could think of that goes into riding a bike and then improve those little things by 1%, you will get a significant increase when you put them all back together. So Brailsford and his coaches began by making small adjustments from any professional cycling team. So they redesigned the bike seats to make them more comfortable, rubbed alcohol on the tires for better grip. They asked riders to wear electrically heated overshorts to maintain ideal muscle temperature while riding, and actually use biofeedback sensors to monitor how each athlete responded to a particular workout. The team tested various fabrics in a wind tunnel and had their outdoor riders switch to indoor racing suits, which proved to be lighter and more aerodynamic. But that's not all they did. They kept going. See, they didn't accept good enough. Brailsford and his team continue to find 1% improvements in overlooked and unexpected areas. They tested different types of massage gels to see which one led to fastest muscle recovery. They hired surgeons to teach each rider the best way to wash their hands, which reduced the chance of disease or colds. They determined the type of pillow and mattress that led to a better night's sleep. They even painted the inside of the team truck white, which helped them spot little bits of dust that would normally slip by unnoticed that could degrade the performance of the bikes. As these and hundreds of other small improvements accumulated, the results came faster than anyone could have imagined. 5 years later, after Brailsford took over, the British cycling team dominated the road and track cycling events at the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, where they won, ready for this, 60% of the gold medals. 4 years later, when the Olympic Games came to London, the Brits raised the bar as they set 9 Olympic records and 7 world events. That same year, Bradley Wiggins became the first British cyclist to win the Tour de France. The next year, his teammate Chris Froome won the race, and he would go on to win again in 15, 16, and 17. So the British team had 5 Tour de France victories in 6 years during that span from 2007 to 2017. Not only that, British cyclists won 178 world championships, 66 Olympic or Paralympic gold medals, and captured 5 Tour de France victories in what was widely regarded as the most successful run in cycling history. And then he goes on, James Clear says, goes on to question, how does this happen? How does a team of previously ordinary athletes transform into world champions with tiny changes that at first glance would seem to make a modest difference at best? Why do small improvements accumulate into such remarkable results? And how can you replicate this approach in your own life? There's, talk about a gift. That's what I do. I create an environment where people can look at all aspects of life. And then it's an intense environment. It's an uncomfortable environment. You see, there are 3 places we can live in. The 3 zones. In the center, there are 3 intrinsic circles. In the center is called your comfort zone. Right out there is called a zone called fear. And right outside of that is a zone called panic. And a lot of people, they long to be in their comfort zones. But here's the problem. We don't grow in our comfort zone. It's a deathbed. It's a graveyard. Things go to our comfort zone to die. Our marriages die. Our passion for God dies. We've got a life is about continually stepping outside your comfort zone. So many believers in God, this is what's wrong with the church. The church wants a comfortable existence. They want the world to like them. That's not how it's supposed to be. God said, if you love him, the world's going to hate you. Remember, we're celebrating the incarnation of Christ. But you know why Christ was incarnated? Why Jesus was in the womb? So he could die. Talk about uncomfortable. Read about the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus' soul was unto death, where he sweated blood. See, you got to step on that zone. Right outside your comfort zone is fear. False evidence appearing real. And here's the key. Fear is a liar. But you'll never know it until you confront it. And when you learn how to function at a high level in a stress environment, fear goes away. It's a straw man. It has no power but the power we give it. And right outside that zone called fear is a zone called panic. Now, you can function for a very short period of time, but do not forge your mail. Here's the key to life. Keep pushing your comfort zone. So what used to elicit a little bit of fear now becomes familiar. And what used to bring about panic now becomes just fear, false evidence appearing real. And once you realize that you can feel the fear and do it anyways, everything changes. How do you get prepared for battles that you don't even know what they are? You improve yourself. Improve the person, you improve the performance. And when you improve the performance, you improve all relationships, both business and personal. That's what I do. And as this radio show comes to a close, remember, wherever you listen to podcasts, you will find Way of Warrior. Download us. Please share us, like us, please. Way of Warrior, where you listen to podcasts. Like It Matters Radio, where you listen to podcasts. And please go to likeitmatters.net. Get in a class. Let me help you be prepared for fighting the good fight. Not my good fight, but your good fight. Go to wayofwarrior.training. Go to wayofwarriorpod.com and listen to these podcasts that are meant to inspire you, to educate you, and to move you. I'm Mr. Black reminding you, when you live your life like it matters, then you can fight that good fight.
You have been listening to Mr. Black, Master Trainer for Like It Matters.
please find us on Facebook by searching LIM Radio. Make sure to follow us, like our posts, and share with others. Also, search YouTube for Like It Matters. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. And for more information on how we can help you live life like it matters, go to likeitmatters.net, where you can find more information on our transformational training, our life coaching, counseling, our radio show, and other ways we help you continue the journey of living life like it matters.